Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
In our studio, strolling in now, is Michelle Nichols. She's the Director of Public Observing at the Adler Planetarium. She was on with Bill and Wendy not that long ago. Welcome back to WGN.
Thank you so much.
Did you take a spacecraft to get over here today?
If I did, I would have gotten here a little faster. That Lala setup traffic is a little rough.
Hey, here's my theory. I think that Chicago is overfested, that we have too many damn swell things going on, and that it makes it difficult for people to actually use this great city. What are your thoughts?
Well, I think if people used public transportation a little more, it might be a little better. I think maybe some of those visitors from out of town might be a little reluctant to use it, but I wish people would take the bus and the train a little more. Might keep a few cars off the road.
Was it Museum of Contemporary Art up by Water Tower last night? They, on Tuesday nights, do a sort of a jazz and wine and little finger food thing. It's lovely over there. And as we were talking about great venues to have a glass of wine, listen to music, and enjoy the city, we said, yeah, but if you go out to the museum campus or up by Adler, they do a thing there where you can have music and look back at the city. And that's one of the great venues in town. I think it's actually over by Shed, but you guys have a great location there.
Yeah, we do. And we have on the third Thursday of every month, we have what's called Adler After Dark. It's for 21 and over. And we have a lot of cool stuff going on. We usually have a DJ or a band or something going on inside. Lots of activities going on. So some telescope observing if it's clear.
Refreshments, too?
Refreshments, always. Yes. Bars. A lot of fun.
Speaking of Mars, so they had this story the other day, and they said that they think that Mars is largely frozen, right?
Mars?
Like hard? It's cold?
It's cold. Parts of Mars can reach up to 70, 80 degrees Fahrenheit. But the problem is the air pressure is so low, it doesn't hang on to any of that heat. And so at night, the temperature can get down to, in the coldest parts of Mars, 190 below. So it's a wide temperature swing during the day. And also the coldest parts can get really, really cold.
So there's no liquid water on the surface.
Right. Well, maybe.
Liquid water on the surface of Mars?
Maybe. So that was interesting news that came out last week. So there are polar caps, there are ice caps at the north and the south pole of Mars. And what was found underneath one of those polar caps by a European Space Agency craft, they used radar, and the data suggests a layer of it could be liquid water. It could be liquid water mixed in with some rock and sand and stuff, at least 3 feet thick underneath that ice. But the ice would keep the liquid from evaporating. So the air pressure is so low, any liquid out on the surface would instantly boil away because of the low air pressure.
Sure, sure. So you've got this layer of ice.
Yep.
And then underneath that ice is maybe some liquid water. Why hasn't that water frozen?
That's an excellent question. Possibly the data might suggest that it's mixed in with a lot of salt or some other substance that would keep the water, like act like antifreeze and lower the freezing point of the water. So though the temperature is really, really low, if you got enough other stuff mixed in, it'll keep the layer liquid.
I thought it might have been an instance where the core of the planet is hot and it's radiating heat from underneath.
That's another really interesting point, because there's a NASA spacecraft that's going to land in November called InSight, and it's going to measure the heat flow out of the core, out of the center of Mars. And so that's also important information to know if this layer has a chance of actually being liquid.
Isn't that the case of some moon around Jupiter or something like that?
Yeah, there's the moon Europa around Jupiter. There's also one near Saturn called Enceladus. They both have liquid water layers underneath ice.
But then if, say, that were the case, and water is the key to life, is that right?
Absolutely. Life as we know it, anyway.
What do you mean by that?
Well, if there was life that didn't need liquid water, if it was formed of different stuff, different, if it wasn't carbon-based like we are, it may not need water. It may need something completely different, but we wouldn't necessarily know what to look for because everything that we know needs liquid water.
But the only thing we found in the universe is rocks anyway, right?
So far.
We haven't found sticks. We haven't found plants. Nope. We haven't found crawly creatures. Nope. We haven't found anything other than just rudimentary stuff.
Right.
Yeah. But then say there was some life underneath the ice. Would that be swimming or would it just be algae or what would it be like?
Great question. It would probably be bacteria of some sort. Those are pretty hardy things, especially here on Earth. They can be found in some really extreme environments, really hot, really cold, really salty, nuclear reactors, all sorts of places where you can find creepy crawlies here on Earth. But more than likely, we would find something very primitive, something like bacteria. But it's hard to say until we dig down in that ice and study this stuff. Who knows?
Does the sophistication of the life matter that much to scientists, or is it life yes, life no? And if it's life yes, it doesn't matter. It's amazing that there's life.
I think if any scientist were to find life, signs of life on another world, I don't think anyone cares what kind it is at this point. We just want to find something out there.
But then say you did get some of this green, gooey, bacterial or algae-like stuff and you brought it back to Earth. Is it possible that it would be just like ours and it wouldn't be that interesting or exciting?
I think if it was just like ours, to scientists at least, that would be interesting and exciting because that would at least be another data point that life like ours is at least somewhere out there in the universe. But if it's different than ours, that's also interesting. No matter what we find out, it's interesting.
Yeah, so. Right. But did we come from bacteria, like... how did we get here? I know that we came from, like, you know, apes and Homo erectus and all the Homo sapiens, all those things. But then if you keep going back, were we probably the stuff of algae, just little green gooey things?
And keep going back, it might have been bacteria-sized stuff even before then. But exactly how we got from a mix of amino acids and things to something that is alive, and there is even debate in some circles about what actually constitutes alive.
Right.
Then how exactly that happened, we don't know.
Yeah. Would it be exciting if, or have they found just some of those building blocks like amino
yes.
acids? Have they found those out there?
Absolutely.
They have?
Yes.
On Mars? Somewhere?
I can't remember if they have on Mars. Definitely in gas clouds and other places. Oh, I take that back. I'm remembering. They have found that in at least in the past, Mars had the ingredients of being hospitable to life.
Okay.
So it at least was at least had an environment where life could exist in the past.
The temperature is very hostile to forming life as we know it on Mars, and you said in part because the atmosphere is so thin. I have a solution to that.
What is that?
Okay, just tell me I'm crazy after this. Michelle Nichols is here. She is the director of observing over at the Adler Planetarium. I'll tell you what, that should be on your bucket list each and every summer and spring and winter and fall. But if you haven't made a trip over there to see the city or see the stars, I recommend it for both purposes. Michelle's been talking to us about that news last week. Bill and Wendy had you on just talking about Mars, but more the Mars that it was close.
Mm-hmm.
I was more interested in the possibility of life on Mars and this European, was it a spacecraft?
Yes. It's called... now I'm blanking as to the name, but it's a...
I think it ends in an I.
Yeah, well, it's a spacecraft that's been orbiting Mars since the early 2000s.
I didn't know they had one up there.
They do, and the Indian Space Agency has a spacecraft as well. It's the Mars Orbiter mission, so there you go.
Okay, so you said that the problem with supporting life as we know it on Mars is that the atmosphere isn't thick enough to hold any of the heat, so when it gets up to 70 degrees... all that heat's lost over the course of a day.
Yep.
Okay. So we need more atmosphere up
yep.
there. So we should put some SUVs up there or get something to just start generating some smoke or some clouds or some carbon, throw it up in the atmosphere. What do you think of my idea?
Actually, there are some science fiction writers and other folks who think about how you might change a place, change a world in order to make it more like Earth. It's called terraforming. And so maybe it's putting some really hardy algae or something there that might generate
as to the name, but it's a...
I think it ends in an I. Never mind that. Keep going.
No, it's all right. And the whatever it is may generate more atmosphere and just get it to be a thicker
right.
air pressure.
So. And I wonder, so you think that might be like, well, in fact, that's what happened on Earth, right? Our atmosphere changed over zillions
yes,
of years because
definitely.
Of microbes and things that were doing stuff,
yep.
throwing off waste product, and then that became part of our atmosphere and environment. But machines wouldn't do that. You think it would be more... critters of some sort?
It would probably be easier with critters. You could keep replenishing them and not have to keep running a machine for a while. But hey, there's probably people who have figured out how to stick a machine or 7 or 10 or 1,000 up there to be able to do this.
There are people that are actually thinking about that when they talk about how hot Earth is getting, right? That maybe we ought to float a bunch of little mirrors out on the ocean and reflect the energy back up into space to keep the Earth from getting too hot.
Well, the problem with that is that once the energy gets down here, it's already here. When you've got a lot of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere, that's gonna trap heat because that's what carbon dioxide does. And so the increasing carbon dioxide level, that's the key that should be stopped or at least slowed down at the very least, but preferably try to get that carbon dioxide out of the atmosphere.
So one last thing then about life on Mars. Do you think we're going to find, I mean, does this Italian spacecraft that detected maybe water a few feet under the frozen surface, what's next? When are we going to find out?
It would probably be years in the future because we would need a special, a designed spacecraft to land there, drill down into the ice and study this stuff.
Yeah.
So I can almost think that there's got to be a NASA engineer right now going, what would I do for this? But the time it takes to get that going, it could take 10 years before we see a spacecraft that's ready to go.
Well, imagine that. You get all the way up there and you drill down, then it comes
nothing
up
there.
Nothing. Yeah.
Hey, but that's what science is all about. Sometimes you get what you weren't expecting, and sometimes what you were expecting, you go, nope, that wasn't right.
Michelle Nichols is the Director of Public Observing at Adler Planetarium. Have you been there this summer? Get on over there. Any last thing you want to tell us about your swell groovy place?
Our swell groovy place would love to see all your listeners come on over. And we've got places in the city where we take our telescopes out to. So if you can't come to us, we sometimes come to you. And so our Scopes in the City program, just check our website. You can see where we're going. We're going to parks, libraries, tap rooms, and lots of other
folks. That's
a good
idea. Adlerplanetarium.org, I suppose.
Absolutely.
All right. Nice to see you in studio. Thanks for coming by, Michelle.
Thank you, King John.